It's Thursday, November 19th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. A couple of very interesting bits of news came across the desk today. First of all, Tim Lincecum, the pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, just won the Cy Young Award for the National League for the second year in a row. That would be the same Tim Lincecum who was caught with a small personal amount of marijuana up in Washington State, just a few miles north of me here in Portland, just a couple of weeks ago. We began the year with 8-time gold medalist Michael Phelps getting caught smoking a bong. We end the year with 2-time Cy Young Award winner Tim Lincecum smoking a bowl. Can we finally dispense with the idea that smoking marijuana turns you into an A-motivated slacker loser? We got some good news from Canada. It turns out Mark Emery, the Prince of Pot, known for his seed sales and, of course, Cannabis Culture magazine, is out on bail, pending his extradition to the United States. Hey, we don't want him. Tell our Justice Department there's no reason they need to extradite Mark Emery to the United States. Free Mark Emery. Check the web. Just go to google.com, check out cannabisculture.ca, cannabisculture.com, or just type Free Mark Emery into a Google search engine and find out what you can do. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin with your cannabis community calendar and a couple of shout-outs to new normal chapters, and then we get into your hemp headlines, including a look at a report from Philadelphia Normal indicating that the city of Philadelphia could save $3 million a year by simply not taking mugshots of marijuana users. Michigan's law enforcement officers are describing their job as more difficult since the passage of medical marijuana, and the smell of an indoor pot growing operation dooms that operation for being too close to the police department. Just how close? Stay tuned and you'll be surprised to find out. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by JohnDoeRadio.com, we bring you Be Real from Cypress Hill and a new tune from his solo release called Fire. And in our interview segment tonight, it's time for our Southern California scene. We stop by with Terry Joyce and DJ Couti from the Patients Advocacy Network to get us all caught up on the latest happenings in the Los Angeles County dispensary scene. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
sell me a bomb. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
It's time for your cannabis community calendar, available online at normal.org/calendar. To get your events added to the calendar, send me an email with the subject calendar request to stash@normal.org. On Friday, November 20th, Philly Normal will be making appearance on the 420 Punk Show. On Saturday, November 21st, Normal Show Live is on the air at live.normal.org, coming to you from inside Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe in Portland, Oregon. We'll be the only journalists on the planet who will be allowed inside. On Sunday, November 22nd, there is a medical cannabis dispensary law workshop worth 5 continuing legal education credits available to attorneys interested in defending and helping to create dispensaries that will fall under California's law. For more information, check out Cumin Summers LLP at www.cuminsommers.com. On Monday, November 23rd, Kansas City Normal is having their regular meeting. On Tuesday, November 24th, Arkansas Normal will be having their regular meeting. And on Wednesday, November 25th, Kansas City Normal will be on 90.1 FM KKFI live in Kansas City, Missouri for Weed Wednesday. For more information on all of these events on our cannabis community calendar, check out normal.org/calendar.
It's a Normal shout-out.
For our shout-outs today, we are proud to announce the affiliation of 2 new college chapters in the Normal Network. Andrew Ball is the founder of a new chapter at the University of Texas, San Antonio, and Donald Brooks is the founder of a new chapter at Kutztown University in Pennsylvania. Welcome aboard. And if you're interested in starting a Normal chapter at your college campus, send me an email with the subject college chapter to stash@normal.org.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. Normal even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. Normal, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. Normal is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's N-O-R-M-L.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Philadelphia could save $3 million annually by ending marijuana mugshots. From Philly Normal, by Chris Goldstein and Derek Rosenzweig. Philadelphia could save more than $3 million annually by not taking pot smokers in for mugshots. Minor marijuana possession arrests in Philadelphia are handled with mandatory custody. This is a different process than every other county in Pennsylvania, costing the city millions of dollars. A disproportionate number of citizens, 84%, arrested for marijuana possession in the city are black. Research by Philly Normal this year has uncovered these 2 disturbing trends that present serious challenges to the city. But in a sign of a pragmatic shift in attitudes, city officials have held an ongoing dialogue with reform advocates to proactively address these concerns. In March of 2009, the Philadelphia chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws performed their annual observation of the Pennsylvania Uniform Crime Report data for their marijuana arrest numbers. At the same time, the city was beginning to face a heartbreaking economic plight that pitted police jobs against a lack of public safety budget funds. Data indicates that 4,716 adults were arrested in 2008 on the singular criminal misdemeanor charge of marijuana possession less than 30 grams. In Philadelphia, such arrests are required to be custodial. For even a single cannabis joint, this means an offender must be handcuffed, transported to a holding cell, photographed, and perhaps make bail before release. In every other county in Pennsylvania, there is no mandate for the custodial arrest of citizens found with small amounts of marijuana. Instead, summary violations are issued along with a date to appear in court. Philly Normal is a sterling example of how ordinary cannabis consumers can band together under the normal banner and affect real change at the local level. Reformers at the national level don't have the on-the-ground knowledge of local politics like everyday citizens living in cities like Philadelphia. Local reformers can better cultivate personal relationships with mayors, city councils, and all their staff, as well as integrate with groups as disparate as unions and libertarians, parents and police, and churches and universities. If you're sitting around wondering when they're going to get around to legalizing pot, you're part of the problem. You have to legalize pot. You and your like-minded pot smokers, cannabis consumers, medical marijuana patients, and lovers of liberty, peaceably assembled to exercise your free speech and to petition your government for a redress of grievances. There's nothing more American than being normal. Michigan law enforcement's job more difficult because they can't just arrest everyone found with marijuana anymore. From the Romeo Observer. Members of the Northwest Zero Tolerance Coalition learned that new marijuana laws are leading to strains on law enforcement. Assistant Prosecutor Bill Daly of the Macomb County Prosecutor's Office spoke to the coalition about some of the drug use problems he has seen in the county, mainly with medical marijuana. He said he is concerned it will be more readily available to students due to people owning medical marijuana cards that grow their own plants. Quote, I think there is going to be more marijuana available to our young people, and I think that it's because there is now a lawful way for it to be out in the stream of commerce, he said. The same thing has happened with Vicodin and OxyContin pills, end quote. I think if medical marijuana were as toxic, addictive, and laden with side effects as Vicodin and OxyContin, that statement would scare me more. Or, if I didn't know that in the medical marijuana states that have been at it long enough to collect data, fewer teens are using marijuana, and their use rates are declining faster than the national average. Not to offend anybody, but in my opinion, it's pretty amorphous criteria to get a card, Daly said. There are people I know who have got a card for asthma, which is kind of surprising, end quote. Well, you wouldn't be surprised if you met Georgine DeMaria or any one of the dozens of medical marijuana patients I've met who use cannabis to treat asthma. THC is a bronchodilator. It opens up the breathing passages, and other cannabinoids work as antispasmodics. He said that the officers don't want to bug people who are lawfully following the program. He said that part of him wonders why the state didn't just totally legalize it so there could be quality control and regulation instead of the current, quote, middle ground, end quote. That part of you would be called the logical part, Mr. Prosecutor. Surprisingly, this isn't the first time I've heard that refrain from law enforcement. Just legalize it, one cop told me. Either it's illegal for everybody or it's legal for everybody, but this in-between some legal, some not shit is impossible for us to deal with. Well, we're working on it. In the meantime, the way you folks in law enforcement have gone about scaring the hell out of people regarding marijuana for the past 70 years has made it very difficult for us to just legalize it. Only people's compassion for the desperately sick and disabled people suffering with pain has allowed us even this tiny bit of marijuana regulation for a small subset of its users. So if the slow progress from prohibition to regulation temporarily makes your jobs a bit more difficult, excuse me if hundreds of thousands of marijuana patients and 20 million marijuana arrestees don't shed a tear.
Stupid Stoner Stories. As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
Smell of pot dooms indoor marijuana grow near LAPD station. From the Los Angeles Times.
In the end, despite a sophisticated filtration system, it was the smell that smoked out the marijuana growing operation, located just 25 feet from the Los Angeles Police Department's Topanga Station in Canoga Park. LAPD officials said officers began noticing the smell of pot Tuesday morning, investigated, got warrants, and closed down the indoor farm within 8 hours. 3 men were taken into custody earlier Wednesday after officers served a search warrant on the warehouse on Canoga Avenue. Growers had built 3 rooms in the building, one for seedlings, one for medium-sized plants, and one where harvesting was apparently conducted, police said. The lights were controlled so they wouldn't overheat, watering systems were automated, and oxygen levels were supplemented by carbon dioxide tanks, according to the police.
Oh, for the life of me, I can't even begin to imagine the cognitive processes and critical thinking that went into this particular choice of real estate for this particular commercial venture. Wait a minute. Yes, I can. I can imagine it.
Dude, check it out. I found an awesome place to grow some pot.
Oh, gnarly!
It's not in the best location, though.
See the globe right there?
Well, yeah, it's in California. No, dude, I mean, it's like right next to the comp shop. You know, the Popo, the 5-0.
I know that, dude.
Yeah, so I'm kind of worried that they'll figure it out and bust us.
Oh, those guys are
Yeah, you're right, man. Besides, check it out. They'll never figure it out. I got these awesome air filters, and we'll seal up the whole inside with caulk.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
No, caulk. You know, like you used to seal up window cracks and stuff?
Totally.
So what do you say? Are you in, brah? Look at this amazing weed, huh? We're gonna make a lot of money, dude. And we're doing it all just 25 feet away from the LAPD. Are you in?
I am today.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you are doing?
What are you people? On dope?
You dick!
Aw, this really sucks. How'd you find us? Hey! Hey, you don't... Hey, you don't have to hit us! Ow! Ow!
That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
James Rockford here from PeopleRadio.com, and you're listening to Normal, the podcast for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Oh, I didn't know they needed reforming. It's illegal, you say? I'll be right back. Sorry, I had to flush my goldfish down the toilet. What was this about marijuana? Oh, well, now on with the show.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show, accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and johndoeradio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on the Daily Audio Stash, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
John Doe Radio.
I'm John Doe from the John Doe Radio Show, and I'll be bringing you your Groovin' Thursday tunes on the Normal Daily Audio Stash. It's going to be fun hooking you up with some great hip-hop, funk, R&B, and rap. Now getting right to it with one of my favorite hip-hop artists, B-Real and Cypress Hill have been a staple of punk culture since the album Black Sunday premiered in 1993 with tunes like Hits from the Bong and I Want to Get High. With success comes the opportunity for solo projects to emerge, and B-Real has taken his opportunity with the Gunslinger mixtapes 1, 2, and 3, and his recent full-length album release, Smoke and Mirrors. The first single off that album is fittingly named Fire and features Damian Marley, the seed of the man himself, Bob Marley. B-Real has a massive list of compilations available and has worked with more artists than are possible to list here. Also heard rumors of a super pot group compilation with the Cottonmouth Kings, Potluck, and Cypress Hill called the Cannabis Cartel. Cypress Hill broke off ties with Sony after the release of their last album and will release a brand new album very soon called Rise Up. But as far as I know, they are still looking for a label to release it. Rumors, the Subnoise Records record label of Cottonmouth Kings is the label that will do it. Subnoise already the main label of Sendog, the other half of the hill. You can expect to hear a track or two from the new record on the Normal Daily Audio Stash real soon. For now, enjoy the latest from B-Real off his album Smoke and Mirrors. Song's called Fire. You heard it on the Normal Daily Audio Stash.
We set the fire, we blaze them and do it properly. Sonically, all we need is the honesty and the Cali weed. Roll up the sensi when you on the brink of insanity. Hit it and pass it, then we blazing all of humanity.
Blaze it up.
And we never care about what you say to us.
Blaze it up.
Everywhere we go, we taking the spray with us.
Blaze it up.
All the mommies in the club wanna blaze with us.
Blaze it up.
All you fucking haters remain hating us. We grow the crystal freely from dirt up to the ceiling. I know you want the feeling. You need some herbal healing. We flip it in the valley, out here in Southern Cali. I know you fuckers envy. Be real and Mr. Marley.
Analog or digitally, spiritual or physically, metaphor or literally, in the street or lyrically. Analog or digitally, spiritual or physically, metaphor or literally.
Some little wannabe wanna come walking on me wallaby. Wanna follow me but they prove to be too weak and wobbly. Flashily, flashing lyrics could I leave them in a tragedy. Truth and factually, it actually come to us naturally.
Blaze it up.
Anytime, any place, in no apology.
Blaze it up.
I make some wine and here become reality.
Blaze it up.
Squeeze up to out of the newest technology.
Blaze it up.
Pop off and put it back comfy and casually. Gang the originally, Mr. B reality. I'm taking trips to Cali, more now than typically, just a specifically, get a good split for Cali, I keep it, you keep it, we keep it blazing.
Analog or digitally, spiritual or physically, metaphor or literally, in the street or lyrically. Analog or digitally, spiritual or physically, metaphor or literally, in the street or lyrically.
En fuego, mira mami, este no es un juego. Ven acá porque me gusta lo que estás haciendo. Un toque y seguro que mi mota es puro. Y te lo juro, yo te subo cuando hueles el humo. Vamos!
Blaze it up.
In the club around the corner, don't play with us.
Blaze it up.
In the limo, shut the window and break it up.
Blaze it up.
If you try to take it from me, it's dangerous.
Blaze it up.
In Jamaica, no mistake in the dungeon bus. Believe the cush is sticky and all the things are tricky. The pigs be coming quickly, they can come and get me. Watch me smoke out the city. Let's see who's coming with me. The bong will make you dizzy. It's gone and Mr. Brizzy.
Analog or digital, spiritual or physical, metaphor or literally, in the street or lyrically. Analog or digital, spiritual or physical, metaphor or literally, in the street or lyrically.
Yo, my lion, I be real and Junior gang, you don't know. Fire.
Hello, I'm Casper Leach, host of Time for Him. When our politicians passed the Marijuana Tax Act in 1937, the citizens of the United States had no idea that a new civil war had begun. now. After more than 7 decades of this war's escalation and spending well over $1 trillion of taxpayers' money, the result has been an arrest record of more than 37 million brothers and sisters for nonviolent drug offenses. Every year, we choose to continue this war. We do so at the cost of well over $69 billion. Add to this, we are building prisons faster than we are building schools. In fact, the prison industry is now one of the fastest growing industries in the United States. We must end this civil war. We can with your help. Please join LEAP, the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and become part of the solution to ending the war on drugs. Go to leap.cc and find out how to become a member.
Weed.
That's Hoovy Valley, Hoovy Ha.
Weed.
We're ready, office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
All right, time for us to go back down to beautiful, sunny Southern California. I hope it's sunny for you down there, Terry. How are things going?
Well, it's pretty sunny. It's sunny outside. It hasn't been quite as sunny in terms of the medical marijuana community, but it's pretty sunny outside.
Yeah, what's the latest that's happening down there? Got a ton of stuff to get to. Let's get right to it.
Well, we do have a lot of stuff happening here. We've been having a lot of fighting of our district attorneys, Dennis Zine and Carmen Tritanich have been trying to close the dispensaries down. And one of their arguments is, for instance, I have a quote from Dennis Zine. He says, they're not here to help people, they're into making money, which really I find it to be an interesting statement, looking at the state of our healthcare right
yeah.
now. I mean, every time I turn the commercial, it's like, ask your doctor if. I want them to say, ask your doctor if marijuana is right for you. It's all a joke. I mean, I can go to the CVS store and get a flu pack for $24.99 and earn extra bucks. I mean, who's making money here? Everybody makes money. That's my argument. Okay, anyway.
understandable. You know, it's always kind of funny how for-profit healthcare is never an issue until we start talking about marijuana, medical marijuana.
Yeah, oh no, we can't charge any money for that.
Yeah.
Well, how do you think we plant it and get it to grow and make the lights happen and everything else?
Exactly.
How is there somebody behind, how do we have somebody, there to administer it, give the marijuana? You know, how do you hire employees to do these things? I mean, there's a process to this. And for them to say that we have to be completely altruistic about marijuana, is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. And so there's been a lot of battles going down there with the Los Angeles City Council most recently, the rejection of doing anything new about banning the dispensary. So is it still kind of in limbo now, just on hold right now?
Well, this would be a question to ask our guest.
Okay.
We have DeJay Kuti back on the show again, and she has been right in the middle of all of this. As a matter of fact, she's been a driving force for us. So I think that we should bring DeJay on.
All right. Welcome back, DeJay.
Thank you. Thank you for so much having me again.
Yes. Now, these hearings here in Los Angeles, most recently it had been proposed some sort of language to just outright ban the dispensaries. And I guess that's either been tabled or rejected. Can you fill us in on the details?
Well, I think what is probably very confusing, and we always like to say that marijuana laws are as clear as mud, but we've had very different things happening in the media compared to what's really been happening on the floor of council chambers. Now, of course, in the media, we're hearing language from District Attorney Steve Cooley that the dispensaries are 100% illegal. They're shutting them all down. And the main argument that has been coming from our city attorney, Carmen Tritanich's office, is that all sales of cannabis, even for medical purposes, is illegal. And this is his interpretation of the law. Now, of course, we've had no problems any other cities in the state that are actually regulating dispensaries and the sales of medical cannabis. So there's been quite a debate between the city council and the attorneys from the city attorney's office on this issue of whether or not medical cannabis can actually be sold in exchange for money. And I have to tell you, if you ever get an opportunity to see some of the footage of people, well, let's just change the word sale to compensation and reimbursement. It's just trying to watch these two entities argue lexicon with each other. And finally, what happened on Monday, there was a special joint session of Los Angeles's Planning and Land Use Management Committee along with the Public Safety Committee to really debate this issue. It was the only item on the agenda, and we were there in council chambers from 8:30 in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon just to debate sales of medical cannabis. And finally, what we saw was Councilmember Zine get very frustrated and finally look at his colleagues and say, fine, we'll just change the name of it. We'll call it compensation. We'll call it reimbursement. We're putting it back into the ordinance and we're moving forward. We're not going to accept the city attorney's proposal. And it was huge because what we've seen in the media is we've seen Steve Cooley and Councilmember Zine and Councilmember Huisar and Carmen Trutanich and others pound their chests in the media that we're all illegal and they're going to shut us all down. But then when we actually got them in chambers, we saw something different. We saw logic. There's power in numbers. We had the chamber filled to capacity. The fire marshal had to be there to make sure that we didn't overstuff that room. And now that all these council members had this many people watching them, they actually did the right thing and they rejected the city attorney's language. We're adding sales back into our ordinance. We're actually drafting an ordinance to regulate the dispensaries, which is the actual motion on the floor. And we'll get back to regulating cultivation as part of a dispensary activity in the future. So we're back to some logic and some rationale. Thank goodness. It's been a couple sleepless weeks for me.
I'll bet it has. And you mentioned the turnout of people there in the chambers as being part of the factor here. How much of this is also just owes to the enormity of LA's dispensary market? It's just too big to be able to stamp out. Does that figure into their considerations?
Well, you know, for the very first time in all of my years of going to meetings, and I'm sure you know that when you go to a public safety meeting or you go to a land use meeting or a city council meeting, cannabis isn't the only issue they're discussing.
Right.
I mean, they're discussing everything that has to do with everything in the city. And so you get to see the way these people interact on all issues. And the first time ever in my 5 years of working with this council have I heard them actually voice concern about lawsuits. They continue to say things like, well, has another city been sued for allowing sales? And are we putting ourselves in jeopardy by this and that? And the reason for that is a group of 182 dispensaries got together and sued the city, claiming that the moratorium was invalid. And that group of 182 dispensaries won. And I think the city finally realizes that with somewhere between 800 and 1,000 dispensaries, and the fact that because of the city's neglect of the issue for so long, it's basically created all these different classes of dispensaries. There's pre-ICO dispensaries, and there's post-ICO dispensaries, and there's hardship dispensaries, and dispensaries that got the DEA landlord threat letter, and, you know, all these different classes of dispensaries. And for the first time, I think the city realizes that depending on how they move with this ordinance, that there are different classes of dispensaries that will sue them, have the money, and now have a history of winning. And I think for the first time, the city realizes they've got to do this correctly or they're going to get sued.
Yeah.
So they're trapped between the force of the dispensaries and the force that is our new city attorney. He's quite the cult of personality.
Yeah, I guess so. What is some background on this Carmen Trutanich? Is there anything else that people outside of the LA area would know him for?
Well, that's interesting you should ask that because, you know, whenever Carmen Trutanich speaks publicly, he mentions that if you're somebody who's not from San Pedro and somebody asks you if you know who Carmen Trutanich is, he always says, oh, I don't know her. So I guess he has quite a reputation in the San Pedro area of being a very, very tough lawyer. Outside of San Pedro, not a lot of people know him.
Hmm. Very interesting. Now, I want to come back to Terry for just a second here. You've always got your finger on the pulse of the community there. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, like DeJay and myself, we get really involved into the councils and all the machinations of politics. But what's happening on a social level? How are the people in the dispensaries, the customers, the dispensary owners reacting to all of this, action at the council?
Well, I did meet Bill at the pharmacy before it all went down, and he looked to me very distressed and worried about what was going on. It seems to me that the owners of the dispensaries have a lot of pressure on them. The one thing that's good for him is that he's in West Hollywood. West Hollywood's actually going to be a model, to my understanding, going to be a model that they're going to pattern the rest of the dispensaries after. And one of them is actually Bill's Place. I don't think that the people that are just, you know, not really involved in the movement, but they're going in and they're getting their marijuana and all that kind of stuff and medicating, I think we need a little more concern from that community, to be really honest with you. It's mainly those that are activists and involved, such as DeJay and those have already been speaking out, the people who work in the dispensaries, but the people that actually really go and get their marijuana and kind of like are enjoying the benefits of that, there is a community of people that need to become more aware of what's actually really going on and come and support that.
What do you think, DeJay? Maybe some customer awareness needs to be involved here?
Well, they're not customers, they're patients. These are private facilities and it's private membership, so we're very careful to not refer to them as customers.
Correct. Okay.
But you know, the problem that we have in LA is there's no evidence to the vast majority of the patients here that the sky is falling. Mm. There are over 900 dispensaries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and there's, you know, different magazines and journals that show you, you know, all the grand openings of that month and, you know, giveaways and free this and join our collective and we'll give you this and that. If you walk into a dispensary in San Francisco, especially if you walked into a dispensary 7 years ago when they were still trying to pass regulations and make things safe up there, when you walked into a dispensary, you became an activist first. You were hit with petitions and sign-up sheets, and you put your email on lists so that you could be informed of upcoming meetings, and you signed a pledge of support, a pledge of resistance against the federal government, that if there's a federal raid, that you'll become a raid responder, and you became a member of that collective, and then you got to go get your medicine. You got to realize that your medicine was a privilege, not a right. Mm. And that's how they cultivate activists in San Francisco. In LA, I've had multitudes of operators tell me, I don't want my patients to know what's going on downtown. I don't want to scare them. I just want them to come in, spend money, get out, and come back and spend money and get out. And for that reason, the dispensaries in LA are very much a retail model, where in San Francisco, the dispensaries are much more of an activist patient social service center model.
Hmm, that's really fascinating, actually. And what do you have an opinion one way or the other that they should be more activist related or not?
Oh, absolutely. As somebody who runs an education and activism and advocacy organization, that is the first thing that the dispensary should be doing. Unfortunately, the dispensaries that are part of the patient advocacy network do that kind of work with their patients. But it's a struggle for them because there's such a small percentage of the overall collectives in the city that patients come in and they're like, you want me to what? Well, they didn't tell me about this over there. Why aren't they doing this over there? Why are you only doing this here and they're not doing it other places? Mm. And that's, you know, that's the interesting dichotomy of Los Angeles. It's very much an entrepreneurial cowboy spirit, no matter what the industry is, whether it's movies or marijuana. It's the same kind of attitude toward business that we have here in LA, which is why we do need really good, strict regulations to make sure these are compassion centers and doing what they're supposed to be and not having obscene amounts of profit. I mean, of course, we've got to be able to pay our rent, we've got to pay our staffs, we've got to be able to pay for the production of the cannabis, and that's the most expensive part of it. But unfortunately, some of the cases that have been very high profile, there was actually a dispensary operator that was raided and arrested in Alameda County. And when the police pulled up, there were multiple sports cars, SUVs, motorcycles, jet skis, boats, and things like that on his property. And when they kicked in the front door, there was, I kid you not, a gold throne in the living room, an actual chair made of gold in the living room of this dispensary operator's home. That has sent such an horrible, and this arrest happened years ago, but it has sent this horrible ripple through the state that is what a dispensary operator is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for that, yeah, we do need to demonstrate that the money and the proceeds generated by a mutual benefit corporation is mutually benefiting everyone involved in the corporation, not just one person in his gold throne.
Yeah, that's a remarkable story, and we hope we don't hear any more of that kind of stuff coming out of Los Angeles. Well, Dejay Kuti from the Patients Advocacy Network, it's CannabisSavesLives.com, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And Terry Joyce, still working with your Mary Jane Says show?
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, this is kind of weird. We lost our Mary Jane Says name. And,
oh, no.
Yeah, we did. One of the girls decided to get mean and take the name and do her own thing. And so, January and I are still together and we have a new name.
Okay.
And it's called American Hemptress.
Okay. American Hemptress, yes. It is. And we'll promote that once we know more about it. You've got, websites and stuff to go with it. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Dejay and Terry, thanks for joining us here in the Southern California scene. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wes.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you tonight with the reminder that tomorrow is Friday and we'll be visiting with CelebStoner.com's Steve Bloom to get the latest entertainment and cannabis news. We also want to remind you Normal Show Live comes to you from Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe, live Saturday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and taking your calls at 347-994-1810. We are the only news organization allowed inside the Cannabis Cafe, so we'll be the only source for news and information direct from the world-famous Cannabis Cafe in Oregon. So check us out Saturday night at live.normal.org. For everyone here at the Daily Audio Stash, including our new musical editors, thanks for downloading the podcast. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.